Anthony Frazina. Well, we're continuing the conversation about the importance of advocacy and navigating through the COVID-19 pandemic as people with disabilities. And I'm pleased to be joined today with Nicole Callender. Nicole, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Anthony. It's always a pleasure seeing you.
Likewise. Thank you for joining me today. And Nicole, talk to us about the early stages of advocacy for you and how that became so prevalent in your world and how it evolves to where it is today.
Oh, there was a lot of evolving. So I'm a mom of a daughter, Caitlin. She's almost 21 years old. She has a genetic disability. And I think that once you become a parent of a child with special needs, that you automatically get thrown into that advocacy world, right? Always trying to figure out, you know, to meet their needs and have their needs met. So it started off 20 years ago when Caitlin was born, and it's kind of evolved since then.
Right. And how would you say, has it evolved? Like, I'm sure there's been some challenging moments, some moments where you wish certain things could happen differently.
Yeah.
Speak to that.
I think it started when she was young. I mean, even just to get her diagnosed. I always was brought up that you kind of trust people and you believe in people. So we, you know, even with medical professionals trying to get diagnosed, and then we moved into the school system. So there was a lot of advocating for services and stuff throughout the schools. And and even extracurricular activities, trying to get her into, you know, be included in the extracurricular. I think pretty much every aspect of her life is kind of evolved into advocating for what's best for her, trying to get her included and trying to get, you know, all the services and needs met for her.
And have you experienced any road bumps along the way, or how has it been trying to get her involved into all these activities, into the school systems, and to a quote unquote normal life? So
yeah, I think I have met some challenges. I think it's depending on the person. I think that there's just some people that just have difficulty with including and understanding what that looks like as a person, like as a whole. Caitlin is very young cognitively, and I think people mistaken that because she's young cognitively, so she can't read or write, but she feels age appropriate, right? So she feels like a typical 20-year-old, and she has, you know, she's very social like a 20-year-old. And I think a lot of people growing up mistook her cognitive ability as her age and didn't treat her as the age that she was. So I know one example was a high school dance, you know, they wanted her to leave early type of thing because, you know, they thought that she needed the EA to stay. And she was really upset, and she understood that, you know what, I'm being treated differently than the rest of my class, right? I'm being asked to leave early just because I have special needs, right? I mean, I think that's one of the most prevalent memories I have where she was treated differently because she had special needs.
Right. And as someone, you know, who is a disability himself, like, you can always see that kind of vision where people perceive what is not necessarily reality.
100%, right? Yeah, they kind of treat her like a baby, I guess, is the more accurate description. And she's not a baby. She's a 20-year-old woman with 20-year-old thoughts and feelings and everything else. So, but I've also had a lot of wins. Like, I know a good example of a win was, I remember when she was in grade 11. So we've moved cities from that high school dance school. And I remember I picked her up because she was working for an hour a week cleaning windows. And all the kids in the high schools, every high school, there's always a pizzeria next door, right? And all the kids were going across the street to the pizzeria. And as I was dropping her off, she's like, you know what? I wish I could go there, right? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. You're in the special ed department. I don't know. I said, but you could ask, right? Thinking they would probably say no. And I got a note that day saying, can you send money? Caitlin wants to go to the pizzeria tomorrow, so one of the EAs is going to walk her. And honestly, that was life-changing for her because she actually said, you know what? They treated me like a kid that's in grade 11, then they let me go to the pizzeria. So, I mean, I've also had some very positive examples too where people saw her for what she, like, for who she was, right? So
and Nicole, now you're the founder of Friends for Kindness,
right?
Talk to us how that has evolved into what it is today.
Should I start with the story first, or
please do?
So when Caitlin was in grade 12, I have two daughters. One's a year older than Caitlin. So Caitlin is very aware that what her older sister gets, usually it's her turn the year after, right? Because she's only a year younger. So when my oldest daughter graduated, she had the grad party, she had the prom, she had all the grade 12, you know, things that you would celebrate in grade 12. So Caitlin automatically assumed that she would have all those the next year. And I had to have a conversation with her saying, no, you age out at 21. You're actually staying in high school to 21 because individuals with special needs are in high school to 21, a lot of them, right? So anyway, she was very upset about this. And then, you know, she has social media and she sees all the kids that she grew up with getting their grad pictures, getting prom dressing. So she was really upset that she was missing these milestones. So I thought, you know what, I'll ask people to mail her birthday cards because she's going to be 18 in July. And I didn't really know how to celebrate that with her. That wouldn't be the typical family birthday because Caitlin didn't have a lot of friends. So I said, okay, guys, if you guys can mail birthday cards between January and July, when all these milestones are happening, she'll feel the love because she'll be getting mail. Well, it went viral and we received 6,000 birthday cards from around the world, which was awesome. And to see Caitlin's mental health change from a very depressed child to a very confident, you know, she felt like she was a superstar. It was amazing. But what I wasn't expecting was I was receiving hundreds of emails and messages from parents saying, I understand how she feels. My kids have never been invited to a birthday party, or I've just mailed out 30 birthday invitations to the entire class and nobody showed up. Like, how do I tell my child why nobody wants to celebrate with them? They were very heartbreaking messages. And I was seeing my daughter like evolve into this very confident woman because of the love she was receiving. So I decided that for that 18th birthday party, I would rent a park in Brantford, Ontario. And I invited any kid. I said, any kid, I don't care how old you are, child, adult, if you've never been to a birthday party and you struggle with friendships and, you know, nobody's ever celebrated your birthday, come and we're going to celebrate all of you at the same time. And we had 200 kids show up from all over Ontario and the United States. And so that was amazing. And then that went viral. So then I started getting messages from families and parents all over North America saying, hey, can you host that on birthday party like in our city? And I was just a mom at the time. And I realized that this was obviously a need. There was a lot of children and adults who do struggle with friendships, who are very alone and don't feel very worthy. So we created Friends for Kindness so that we can celebrate individuals who are alone and excluded in society and a lot of the events and stuff.
And as you just alluded to, that has blown up to a North American venture. So how does it actually work in terms of the Friends for Kindness on birthday parties? Like, do you like send cards to kids or do kids reach out to you? Families reach out to you?
Yeah, it's kind of evolved because of COVID. But at the beginning, the intention was, so like this has only been 2 years, right? Because we had COVID. So the first birthday parties, we've had 6 on birthday parties across Ontario in 6 cities. So basically the idea of the on birthday party was we invited anybody who struggled with friendships. So typically 90% of them were individuals with special needs, right? The ones that people exclude. And then what I did is we had volunteers from the local high schools or even elementary school kids also come to the on birthdays. And there was a lot of, there was education. So a lot of the kids who did not have special needs could see that those with special needs could also have fun, could also participate in the same games, also love the same things, were funny. Because I think, like, I don't know, this is obviously not an educate, but this is my thoughts. I don't think kids mean to be mean. I don't think kids mean to exclude. I think they're afraid, right? So they avoid. They're like, you know what? Maybe I'm not inviting this kid because they seem like there's a lot of needs. And what if we screw up? Or what if we hurt them, right? So we're just going to exclude them. So the unbirthday parties really promoted inclusion and showing that everybody can get, you know, play and have fun regardless of the different abilities that everybody that was at the party had. So that was the first part. And then the second part is we have card writers across North America who write birthday cards to our birthday kids. And we have adults. I say kids, but we have adults in the program as well. So that every month on their birthday, they receive lots and lots of birthday cards. So they feel loved and they don't feel alone when they celebrate their birthday.
That's great. Nicole, we're going to take our first break, but we'll be right back with more from Above and Beyond.
This is The Hawk, 101.5 FM, Hamilton's alternative.
Do you know what it's like to go hungry? Have you ever been in a pinch and not known where to turn? Where do youth in Hamilton go for help? to a place that supported over 29,000 youth visits last year, to a place that serves over 900 free meals every week. For 28 years, Living Rock Ministries has been supporting youth aged 13 to 25, and you can help by doing placement hours and volunteering at Living Rock. To find out how you can get involved, call 905-528-ROCK or visit livingrock.ca. And be sure to like Living Rock Ministries on Facebook. Youth matter.
I don't drink and drive. No way I'm getting behind the wheel when I smoked weed, too.
How are we getting home, then?
Come on, Dave. Take one for the team.
Don't let weed and alcohol influence your decision to drive.
Yeah, I need a ride.
A message from Ad Canada.
Hi, I'm Lisa Ray. As an actor, I played many roles, but I didn't choose my latest one. Living with multiple myeloma, a rare and incurable cancer of the bone marrow. For most patients, myeloma was quickly fatal. Now, thanks to new treatments and better education, people like me can live longer, productive lives. We all deserve an equal chance to fight myeloma. That means the right care at the right time. Join the fight. Make myeloma matter. Visit myelomacanada.ca.
CIOI 101.5, The Hawk.
And we're back on Above and Beyond, and we're talking with Nicole Callender. Nicole, you were talking to us about the birthday parties and how it works and how it's evolved. I just wanted you to continue on with that and kind of give us more information about that.
Okay. So we only had the birthday parties the 1 year. That was 2019. Right. And then last year COVID hit. So we kind of had to adapt that, and we went online for that. So I don't know if you'd want me to specifically go on how we adapted, or do you want me to still talk about the unbirthday parties itself?
Yeah, talk about both.
Okay. So the unbirthday parties were a big success, because actually, you know, I'm going to give you a perfect story about the unbirthday parties. Was so we had a volunteer who was very shy, and, you know, she felt like, you know, she was kind of off to the side because she didn't really know how to include herself in the unbirthday party. And I had another participant who was also very shy. She was a teenager, and mom was with her. And I said, you know what? I have the perfect, you know, friend. So I took the shy volunteer and I said, yeah, why don't you show this friend, you know, all the different stations at the unbirthday party and stuff. And they had a great time. And about 2 weeks after the unbirthday party, I got a message from that mom. And she's like, you know, my daughter's now having her very first sleepover for the first time in her entire life. And she's 15. She is now best friends with the girl that was the volunteer at the unbirthday party. So there was a lot of connection. Another thing that surprised me about the unbirthday parties is somebody, like I had superheroes and I had princesses, which are great, but they were very one-on-one. And somebody had donated Crayola craft stuff for me. So I made a Crayola station, like just make your own cards or whatever. And that was the most popular station. And I realized it was the most popular because the kids could all interact with each other and hang out together at that station, right? Where the princesses were more one-on-one. So I found a lot of friendships were formed at our unbirthday parties in 2019, which was really heartwarming.
That's incredible. And that's really what really it's all about. Now, you talked about COVID. Mm-hmm. And how has COVID altered things for you, whether it's within the lifestyle, within Friends for Kindness?
Oh, COVID has completely changed my life. I mean, I mean, I think it's changed everybody's life. Let's be honest, but it's not been all that bad. I mean, so Caitlin has a lot of medical issues, so we chose to keep everybody home. I have two sons as well. I have four children, so we all stayed home. They're all distant learning, and it's obviously not a fun all the time, but it's also a lot of benefits. You know, that we're all together, and I can work one-on-one with my kids and stuff, but. Friends for Kindness, it took a hit because obviously we couldn't do our unbirthday parties last summer, but we thought outside the box and we had a virtual unbirthday party, which was a lot of fun. We had Splash and Boots and stuff and all that come on. So that was a lot of fun for the kids. Obviously I miss celebrating with them. I miss all of us together because I think that connection. And also, you know, even with Caitlin, I've noticed is that a lot of children with special needs, they're very isolated. I mean, they're more isolated because where my other kids have friends calling them on their electronics and their games, right? They can still communicate. Caitlin doesn't have anybody calling her this last year, right? There's no friends calling her. So she's even more isolated and more alone, right? So that's been a struggle. But again, with Friends for Kindness, we're thinking outside the box. So literally like 2 weeks ago, we've now started an online buddy program. for the three different ages. And so instead of the on birthday parties, even though we can't have the on birthday parties, we're connecting them all online with buddy programs instead, which has been amazing.
So give us more information about the buddy program and what it is.
Okay, so we have an online, so those high school kids that would have volunteered on birthday parties are now our volunteers online. We have a Zoom meeting for three different age groups. So on Tuesdays, we have a teen group and we have an adult group, so 18 plus. And on Thursdays, we have an elementary age group, which is like 6 to 11 age group. And we have high school volunteers kind of moderating. So basically, the kids are all in this Zoom call, just hanging out with each other like they're at the at a coffee shop together. I mean, I'm on there moderating, but I have my camera, my mic off because they don't want their mom listening into their coffee chat, right? So they don't. Even Caitlin's like, "Mom, do you really need to be here?" And I'm like, "No, okay, you guys are good." And literally, it's so heartwarming seeing these kids all just hanging out and chatting. Even the volunteers are loving it. Like, I've gotten so many messages from the volunteers saying, "You know what? I signed up because I need volunteer hours for high school, but this is probably my most favorite thing that I've done all week." So, I mean, it's only been a couple of weeks, but it's been so fun watching everybody interact with each other online so far.
That's excellent. And is there like a plan to continue this buddy system post COVID? And what are your plans to kind of go back to the unbirthday parties and evolve this buddy program that has just been created?
So yes, the buddy program we've decided is probably something we should do all year, like September, like a school year, September to June. We think, you know, even when it wasn't COVID, a lot of our friends that we celebrate are isolated from, you know, social contact. So this has been great. So yes, we would like to keep up the buddy program once September comes after COVID. I'm hoping by September, but we don't know, but hopefully. And then the unbirthday parties, we're not doing them this year. But next year, fingers crossed, we can have them back next summer and we'll host them in our six cities that we were going to last year. We're hoping that if you know, it depends on the vaccines roll out and that, we're hoping in September, a couple of the cities, we may do a drive around the city kind of party for the kids where we have stations around the city and give them clues, kind of like an Amazing Race type game. Nice. So that we can get them out. But it's hard to plan, right, when the world is the way it is, but it's on our radar to do something like that and get everybody together, hopefully in the fall for something.
And, you know, as a mom, how has that been for you in terms of navigating the pandemic?
Exhausting. I will tell you, I never realized how much I love solitude until this pandemic. I've now literally... So tomorrow's the 13th or 14th, whatever it is. But I've now been with my children for 365 days, and I have yet to break away from them. So, yeah, as much as I love them, I cannot wait to the day that I can break free from, I call it COVID jail in here. But it's exhausting. You know what? I find out it's exhausting for a lot of people because everything's in our house now. Our jobs are in our house. Our school is in our house. I've got my motherly, like, you know, clean the house. My chores are still in the house. So everything's in this building that I'm living in. So it'll be nice when I can walk out the door and shut the door and not have everything in this one room. Right. So, yeah.
Yeah. And you just spoke to, you know, working from home. How has that transition been for you?
It's been okay. I mean, I'm lucky that my daughters are older so they can kind of keep around the little ones. So it's been okay. I don't mind working from home. I'm going to be honest. Like, I feel like at the beginning it was very shocking, and because I was a very social person, I was always networking, I was always doing something for Friends for Kindness or my job, and then the world shut down, and I didn't know what to do with myself, so it felt like a two-week vacation. But now I feel like I've adapted, and I'm not quite sure if I'm going to have to watch The Jungle Book a couple of times and figure out how to socialize with people again, because I'm kind of liking my little cave down here, I'll be honest. It's been okay.
Nicole, we're going to take our final break, but we'll be right back with more on Above and Beyond.
You're listening to The Hawk, 101.5 FM, broadcasting across Hamilton from the edge of the Niagara Escarpment.
SASHA, the Sexual Assault Center, Hamilton and area, provides confidential telephone support to survivors of sexual assault, rape, incest, child sexual abuse, and sexual harassment. Survivors and their support people can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Men, women, and trans people are welcome to call the support line at 905-525-4162. Please call 905-525-4162. You are not alone.
Here's an interesting statistic. Out of every 1,000 sexual assaults in Canada, 3 lead to a conviction. That means you're more likely to get into trouble for making an illegal left-hand turn, or parking in the wrong place, or walking your dog without a leash, or not shoveling your sidewalk, or jaywalking. We don't think that's okay. If you agree, join the conversation at #NotOkay. A message from YWCA Canada.
At Mohawk College, we believe that consent is everything.
If my friend tells me they've been sexually assaulted, the first thing I need to do is listen to them, understand the situation, let them know that I am trying to understand how they feel.
I think the most important thing is to not push them by any means, not make them say anything they don't want to, make sure they're as comfortable as possible.
What does consent mean to you? For support or more information, students and staff can contact the Student Rights and Responsibilities Office, Security Services, Employee and Family Assistance Program, or Counseling Services at Mohawk College. Or in the community, contact SASHA, the Sexual Assault Center in Hamilton, at sasha.ca.
This is The Hawk, 101.5 FM, online at 1015thehawk.ca.
And I'm back with Nicole Callender, and we're talking, Nicole, about how isolation has been during the pandemic for you as a parent, and just kind of give us more information on that, like how it's impacted you as a person.
Like I said, we've all had to adapt and learn new ways of everything, our work, parenting, you know, schooling. I know for a lot of parents with special needs kids, it's exhausting because the needs are full on 24/7 and we have no respite. Our respite's been canceled for the past year. I mean, Caitlin at least used to have somebody that would take her out to, you know, stuff, and we've lost our respite for last year. So it's been challenging, but it's been adaptable. I think if anything, if there's a positive in this craziness is that, people are, you know, a lot of people lost their birthday parties or their celebrations and stuff. And that's awful, obviously. But the kids with special needs like Caitlin had lost their birthday parties their entire life. They never had people celebrating them, right? Or they never had people coming. So I think it was great that it was great for people to see what a life of like somebody like Caitlin has been experiencing for pretty much the last 20 years, right? So that's been a positive, I think.
Right. So like a life with somebody who has challenges on a daily basis, to kind of like to open perspectives on that and to see what that's like, so to speak.
Yeah, to see what it's like to be isolated without social contacts and stuff, right? So,
right. And what have you seen has been that kind of a result of it, or have you seen kind of any like feedback, or people have given you any like thoughts on that?
Not per se like feedback, but I have a lot more people being interested in volunteering for us, right, and wanting to be card writers and wanting to volunteer for the buddy programs and that. And I think it's because they're starting to understand, right? They're getting that personal understanding that, yeah, you know what? I missed my birthday, or I missed my grad and my prom. And it was devastating. And even parents are starting to understand like that loss. Like I feel a loss that I'm not seeing Caitlin getting those milestones, right? And parents are like, oh, my kid she missed her grad last year. And I felt their pain, because this is what a parent with special needs child feels like. We miss those milestones quite often in their lives, right? So I think that was great that people are reaching out more to want to be involved and be more inclusive, because they're starting to understand what it must be like for the ones with special needs who lose these milestones or aren't included in life, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. And all this work has got to be extremely gratifying for you as a person and as a family as a whole, and for Caitlin and for the community at large. What's kind of next? Is there kind of stuff on the back burner for Friends for Kindness, for the buddy program that you're looking to expand into?
Oh, I always have ideas. I, you know what? here's my goal. My goal is I want the world to be inclusive, right? I don't want the barriers that, you know, my daughter and her friends all face, right? And sometimes it's really hard for me to get that point across to people that don't live in our world per se. So, you know, eventually if I can spread this large and far, right, then absolutely I'm going to, because all it's doing is helping us educate and promote that, what, like, the benefits of inclusion, right? When they see everybody working together and celebrating together.
Right. The benefits of inclusion, as I've always said, is a collective prosperity where there's inclusion, you know, there's collective prosperity that, you know, where we can all get along in a world that is accessible, that is inclusive, that anybody from anywhere can get to point A, from point A to point B, respectively, independently, and on their own, and at certain times ask for help when they want to ask for help, as opposed to the assumption for when help is particularly needed.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely.
And I've always said, you know, it's not about perfection, it's about progression.
Yeah.
And we've progressed. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But in saying progression, there's still a lot more work to be done.
Yeah. If you really think about it, though, human rights has only been around for 40 years. I mean, after I've been born, that's not a long time. So we have made a lot of advancements and progression, and we have a long way to go, but it's still fairly new. It's still fairly new, the whole human rights thing. So as long as we, you know, I always say that the more people we have on our side advocating with us, the louder our voices are get. The more we're heard, right?
Right, amplifying our voices and creating alliances and allyships within one another in our community.
Correct.
What would you say to those who push back in terms of trying to be an advocate for rights, whether it be for people with disabilities, inclusion, and so on?
I find I get a lot of pushback sometimes. I chalk it up to they don't understand, right? It's ignorance, right? It's just education. When I push back, I educate them and I say, here's my reasons for this. Here's some examples. Here's some facts. And that's all I can do, right? My voice can only educate them. And if they find that, yes, they've learned something and they can change, I can't change people, right? So I just do the best I can to educate people.
Absolutely. Right. And after you go ahead and when you push back and you educate, do you see some sort of like a backing down? Do you see some sort of like a more of an understanding of that?
Sometimes I think I'm very obnoxious on my social media accounts with all my fight, my voice and that. But what I do notice is that people start listening because I start seeing them follow the example in their lives, right? And I feel like if one person's following that example of including and accepting, then you know what? Then they're going to be the example for somebody else. And that's the way we're going to keep moving forward.
Absolutely. And, you know, amplifying your voice to coincide with the actions that you take to validate the voice that you have. And I think that's so important.
100%.
Nicole, this has been an incredible conversation. You've been a friend of mine. You're an ally, a huge voice in this community. How can people get involved with all the work that you do?
So they can visit our website, which is www.friendsforkindness. It's the number four. So friends4kindness.ca, or they can visit our Instagram or Facebook page, Friends for Kindness. We have on Facebook a page which lists our events, or there's a group that's basically just Caitlin's journey and a bunch of other children that we might need to celebrate. And thank you very much, Anthony, for having me today. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
And likewise, Nicole, and as always, we always end episodes of our show with a quote. And the quote today comes from Nicole. And the quote says, "Diversity is being invited to the party, and inclusion is being asked to dance." And speaking as somebody who's an advocate of myself with accessibility and inclusion, that speaks volumes to me. And hearing all these wonderful quotes from our great guests are so empowering. So guys, that's our show for today. And if you'd like what you see, please feel free to reach out to me. And that's goaboveandbeyondtv@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me, and we'll see you next time. United, always trying to face the day. We're together and now we're here to stay. United, we will be the change. The Hawk is on the air.
broadcasting 24/7 from the top of the Niagara Escarpment.